refreshed.
And good morning. Such a lively, chatty group of folks this morning. It's wonderful. And welcome to St. Luke's, those who we know, and some folks who are just meeting this morning, getting married. I see, I can hear barely. So we welcome you. Would you like to introduce yourself to our congregation? Please. Yeah, you didn't know you'd get volunteered first thing.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning. I'm Michelle Urish. This is Lance Bennett. We're getting married tomorrow. And we are from Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Rio Rancho. And the pastors are here as well, who I got to know.
Pastor Harlan.
And Pastor Ruth.
And?
Caden. And we're now in Minnesota near, within 70 miles of three of our grandchildren. But when Michelle asked us if I'd like to come to the mountains to do a wedding, it was not too hard to say.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm Bill Hawley, and I'm helping lead worship with our guest pastor today, who I will please introduce yourself, Mr. Pastor.
So I'm Nathan Keith, and so I'm the Dean of the Wyoming Conference from Laramie, Wyoming, and so the bishop and the staff, they're all over the synod right now, so they asked if I'd come up and be with you all, and so I'm a motorcycle enthusiast, and so I said yes right away because I haven't been up in this part of Wyoming yet, and so went to Thermopolis and up and over your Sweet 16. Uh-oh. And so I stopped at whatever that one outlook is, where you see the river. I just stayed there for about 45 minutes yesterday. And so it is. I have a wedding middle of July up in the mountains, the Sonora Range. I got to hike in 7 miles to this secluded lake. And so I got to get in shape to preach. So so welcome. Yeah. And so because I'm new here, your congregation, I always say this, that I enjoy working for a forgiveness-based institution. And so here's why. Because all churches do things differently. So I'm probably going to mess up something today. And so that's why I enjoy being a part of a forgiveness-based institution. And so here grace is offered. So thank you for the invite.
Thank you for being here, Pastor. And announcements this morning. Bell Choir is going to practice in the basement at 5 on Wednesday. I'm just reading off the bulletin that you can also read off of. And church council will meet at 2 o'clock next Sunday. Any other announcements for the good of the order this morning? There is one other announcement. It seems as if someone is celebrating an 81st birthday this weekend. And so let's start with happy birthday this morning to Carl Madsen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carl. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Happy birthday, Carl. It was not your wife's idea. For worship this morning, you will need a bulletin, and you'll also need this Chosen People Worship Liturgy as well, as we will sing our hearts out in giving praise and honor and glory to our Savior Jesus Christ. Please stand as you are able. We are gathered here, page 1 in Chosen People Book. We are gathered here in the name of the Maker. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Maker, chosen by God's grace. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Savior, chosen by God's grace. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit. We are gathered here to God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit, chosen by God's grace. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please share an appropriate sign of peace to one another.
Yes, peace to God.
She's my wife, so I can kiss her. Yes, peace. Yes, peace. Yes, peace. Yes, peace. Yes, peace. Yes, peace. Yes, peace.
See, I love the word appropriate because it means a little something different to everyone, and we can choose what that means for our own selves. On page one, let us confess. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I waste. Sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant or your son. Kyrie eleison, page two. Chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true. The Journey of Praise, page 3.
From the cradle to the grave.
praise the Lord. Oh, let our hands praise the Lord. Oh, let our voices praise the Lord. Oh, let our lives praise the Lord.
Please join me in prayer at the top of page 4 in the prayer today. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be a part of your family,
to follow the footsteps that Jesus walked.
And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the gardens, and at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman from whom you gave with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Is this what you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat, all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and this woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 130 responsibly. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul awaits, and your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
The second reading is from the fourth and fifth chapters of 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, "I believe and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the Lord of God. So we do not lose our heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being rewarded day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not to what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but for what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that the earthly tent which we live in is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able, and we'll sing "Listen" on the middle of page 4.
I'm sorry. Please remain standing as you're able for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, him being Jesus. For people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he had an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mothers and who are my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, here we are in the third chapter of Mark, right? We are just in the third chapter of Mark, in the beginning of Mark's Gospel, and Jesus has upset almost every single person in his life. That didn't take long. I mean, all of us know the story when a family member tries to sweep in early in the situation to try to save you. We all know if that happens, things are not going well. Your family is absolutely terrified of what is about to come. And that's what happens in our gospel lesson. A crowd comes together and Jesus is in the middle of it all. And with me, you can almost hear the energy of the crowd increasing as his family rushes in to try to get Jesus out of it with no luck at all. And so what happens then? The religious leaders, the ones who had the education of the day, start coming into that inner circle to share what they think about Jesus. Well, David Jacobson writes the situation this way. He said, this puts Jesus in dire straits. His family is up in arms and the authorities are raising questions about him. Jesus' family is attempting to rein him in because they are worried about his eccentric ministry of healing, exorcism, and forgiveness. Along with the authorities who wish to delegitimize Jesus with a damning diagnosis of Beelzebulitis. The outer rings of the pericope are closing in on Jesus with the aim of closing down his Galilean ministry for the sake of religious order. Jesus should be detained. We're in the third chapter of Mark. I mean, how did this all unravel? If you go home today and read the first three chapters of Mark, this is a quick synopsis of what took place. Jesus called some disciples. He healed a man with an unclean spirit. He healed Simon's mother-in-law, who had a fever. He does some preaching. He cleanses a leper. He heals a paralytic. Jesus challenges some ideas about fasting, which I thought the religious leaders may get upset a bit about. And then Jesus installs his disciples. And then it hit the fan. See, if Jesus lived in our culture today, I believe today's scripture would easily be repeated. I mean, many Christians have this image that Jesus is your friend or your buddy, and if that is your image, that is great and wonderful. But Jesus as your friend and buddy really isn't easily seen in scripture. Rather, we see the healing Jesus, the advocate Jesus, the justice-minded Jesus, the support all peoples Jesus, That is the Jesus they hated. This is the Jesus they thought was full of demons, not the friend Jesus, but the in-your-face with love and grace and compassion Jesus. You see, Jesus wasn't following the rules of who gets blessed by God. He wasn't following the rules. I mean, those who follow God's laws would feel that Jesus needs to bless those who are in the sanctuaries like you are this morning. And sometimes we good people feel the same way as well, don't we? But what we find is Jesus was blessing people who would never find their way into the sanctuary, into the temple. That's who Jesus was with. So Jesus was not a friend. He was welcoming and blessing and touching people and healing people and embracing all the brokenness that Jesus saw. He was doing the things that the church in his time wasn't doing, or at least wasn't doing well. So my friends in Christ, imagine with me today if Jesus came into our community up here in Buffalo. If Jesus came and did the things that Jesus did in our gospel, we would think Jesus also had a mental illness. We would think he would be off. I mean, they called him the devil, right? Beelzebul is another term for Satan, the devil, whatever kind of name you want to give to a negative source. And his own family tried to bring him in. They gave him all kinds of names, but they couldn't come to terms with was this: Jesus' incredible compassion and understanding for human beings, especially towards those who the worship leaders or maybe people in Jesus' society could not be compassionate towards. I mean, after all, in the first three chapters of Mark, we don't see Jesus overturning the tables yet. There's really not enough for them to call Jesus Beelzebul. I mean, yes, Jesus plucked some grain out of a field on the Sabbath so that he could have some food, and the religious leaders were upset because Jesus worked on the Sabbath. But I don't think that's enough to call him Satan. So, my friends, we do that with people today too well, don't we? We downgrade them. We call people crazy. We say they're out of their minds. We say they're just out of touch, right? I mean, you know what people say. And unfortunately, as a pastor, I have seen this from both sides. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Both sides are saying the very same thing about the other side who has a different viewpoint. They're saying the same stuff. They're crazy. They're out of it. You see, when we downgrade someone, when we degrade someone, we are really dismissing them as having any credibility. That's what we're trying to do. We dismiss them so they have no credibility and they have no influence upon our own lives. And that's what they were doing, trying to do to Jesus. So think with me, the leaders of Jesus' day, and he's in his hometown, his home territory, certainly there are people that Jesus grew up with that were in that crowd that saw Jesus growing in their own midst, now yelling at him and calling him Beelzebul. All to degrade his sense of worth. If I remember right, there is a commandment about bearing false witness. Anybody remember that commandment? Commandment number 8. Bearing false witness. I mean, this is all sarcasm. Human beings can be so kind at times. Instead of seeing something that's new, something that's different, that could benefit all, this justice-minded Jesus, instead of seeing something new and different and being excited about it, so often human beings will see something new and exciting and we will dehumanize it. And the humans that day did that to Jesus. I mean, he was loving people. He was healing people. And his work was called devilish. And in verse 29, I think Jesus really reaches his place of frustration and shares this language. He said that whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven. And I'm a man centered on God's grace and forgiveness, and so when I see that word never, I get a little itchy. So verse 29, then, the sin is misnaming God's Spirit work as evil. That's the sin. Calling what Jesus is doing, healing people and loving people, embracing people as sin. So to hinder the mission of God then, to hinder the hope that God has for humanity is the sin. That is the unforgivable sin, which I hope is forgivable. And at the end of our lesson, something beautiful happens. As Jesus was receiving all kinds of hate speech, as Jesus was being degraded, as his credibility was being literally ripped off his shoulders, as his own family was trying to rein him in, Jesus asked the question, who is my sister? Who is my mother? And Jesus looked around at all those who were yelling at him, and he pointed to them and asked that question, and he said, here are my mothers and my sisters and my brothers. I mean, in all that turmoil, in a moment where all of his ministry could have came crashing down, Jesus redefines who is in your family, that Jesus increases every single person's worth and claims everyone in the crowd as a member. A member. Even those who pop in for a Sunday. And could we say that Jesus was even saying that to the ones yelling at him? Inviting them into this imagery of being a part of the family? Anybody here have a family member that gets in trouble with you once in a while? So imagine with me, some 2,000 years later, the orphans in that crowd. I wonder what they were thinking and feeling. We know a little bit about the historicalness of this time period where widows were often cast aside and sometimes not taken care of. Think about the widows. What did they hear when Jesus said, you are my mother? So imagine with me today, amidst all the hate speech that we hear today, and maybe some of you have participated in some of that hate speech against a race or a culture or a religion or a political view. We all have, if we are honest. We have all said something to degrade another person. But imagine with me today, if the church today would take the stance of Jesus. Imagine with me if a church and all the degrading speech that we hear, that the church would stand up and reclaim those who seek to be separated. And even those who yell at us and say, you're out of your mind, you have lost it, you're out of it, you look at them and you say, you are still my sister, you are still my brother. So Jesus didn't let the hateful words stop his mission. He didn't let it. We have a whole bunch of chapters after the third chapter. You see, Jesus still came to do what he came to do, to redefine how you and I classify one another. You are my sister. You are my brother. And all of us together, as we participate in the mission of our God, and yes, among all the hate speech that we wear and see and hear, that you are my brother. You are my sister. You are my mother. You are my father. Please pray. Oh, wonderful God, I want to thank you for your radical love and compassion for your people. That God, even in times in my own life where I haven't been the most faithful person or most faithful pastor, that God, you still call me brother. And so, God, in our weakest moments, you continue to come to us. You continue to gather us in your most wide embrace.
And so, God, I want to thank you for those gathered here this morning. May all of us go this day sharing the gift of you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand as you are able, and let us respond to the great news shared this morning with the song of the day. We are a chosen people of God.
We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with the gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen.
Our offerings, thank you for continuing to give to St. Luke's. We have offering plate at the front and also at the back. If you have not given yet today, we thank and appreciate the continued support for this mission and this congregation. Let us sing the offering song. Everybody's got something to offer. Middle of page 6.
Everybody's got something to offer. Young and old, the prince and the pauper.
If you want to stand and dance, that's good too.
In the name of the Lord, to the lost and the lowly ones, the message it is clear. We have all got a gift to give, our hands, our hearts, our tears. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer. In the name of the Lord, to the believers gathered here, the message is true. We have all got a gift to give in all we say and do. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer. In the name of the Lord.
For the prayers of the people today and the prayers of intercession, Jean has provided me with a few names: Linda Chapman, the Johns family at the loss of Chris's mother, Pat Smith, and we'll remember the Lenz family, the passing of Rick this past week. Are there any other prayers that you'd like to bring forward this morning?
I'd like to pray for this marriage of Lance and Michelle.
Any other prayers?
For the health of Pat Rowe.
We'll also include Pastor Ken in our prayers. I'm sure that many, if not all of us, are doing that as well as he goes through his cancer diagnosis, treatment, and all that not fun stuff. Other prayers?
Well, the Southwestern Minnesota Synod of the ELCA is going to be meeting in a virtual assembly this weekend.
Okay.
And our son, Bryant, has been pre-identified as a nominee for the office of bishop. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit choose the right person, not necessarily
the son. I so appreciate you bringing that forward, because, you know, sometimes when we think about prayer, it's prayer for people in need, whether that's physical need or a mental health diagnosis or a cancer diagnosis. And so thank you and much appreciation. Please feel free to join in, because I might not get it quite right. Or I'll let the Spirit take care of that.
Yeah,
that.
There you go.
The Spirit's got it.
And you thought you were going to mess up this morning. Any other prayers before we join our hearts and our minds and our souls in a unified prayer? No? So let's start by singing "The Spirit Intercedes for Us." It's on the top of page 7. We'll also finish with that song. Triune God in prayer, God of wholeness. We pray for believers all over the globe. We pray for all ministries and missions who seek to mend the broken. Unify us in service of the gospel, that we may work together as beloved brothers and sisters in Christ to share your love with all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of the universe, we pray for creation, for our gardens, waterways, and for creatures near to us, and for diverse forms of life that still remain unseen.
Teach us to treat the natural world with reverence, seeking restoration when human divisions have caused harm to your beloved creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all people, we pray for harmony among the nations. Cast out from us unclean spirits of greed and fear, that we may work in solidarity with one another in compassion for the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all abundance, we pray for all those who are oppressed or in any need. This morning we especially pray for Linda Chaplin, recently hospitalized. We pray for Pat Smith to see her condition. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving and who have lost. We include the Johns family at the death of Chris's mom. We include the Lenz family at the sudden passing of Rick. Father, we pray for others who are in need of your healing. We pray for Pat Rowe. We pray for our pastor, Ken. We pray for others on our hearts and minds in need of your healing. Father God, we ask that your Spirit would pass among the people of the Southwest Minnesota Assembly this upcoming weekend. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would move amongst them in all of their decision-making processes. And we lift up your son, your brother, Pastor Bryant, as well. Your will be done. And Father God, we lift up Lance and Michelle here with us this morning. We know your Spirit is working amongst them already in their relationship. We pray that their marriage will be blessed with love and compassion. Encourage those who have begun to lose heart. Strengthen and renew us with your Spirit, Lord, in your mercy. God of righteousness, we pray for this holy house of worship. Set our gaze upon things eternal, that in thanksgiving for your mercy, we may extend grace to more and more people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all those who work for the future of our ministry with Union Congregational, St. Luke's Episcopal, and with all Christians in this community, Lord, and with all people. We pray that the Holy Spirit will move and work for those who seek candidates for our ministry and in the hearts of the candidates identified as well. Lord, in your mercy. God of all ages, in your great goodness, you have sent us faithful witnesses, including Pastor Nathan this morning, for every time and place. We give you thanks for those saints who now rest in your eternal mercy. We name in our hearts and our minds now. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. As we prepare for the meal, let's sing Whose Body? That's in the middle of page 7 of your worship folder.
Whose blood? In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I know many of you know this, but this is God's table, this is God's meal, and this is one place God invites us to be a part of God's family. And so when you come up today, you have been claimed yet again as a sister, a brother of Christ. All may come forward for this meal. You may be seated.
Our communion hymn is number 107 in Best of the Best. Please rise. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Did I say it right?
You did right.
Okay. I did right.
Very appropriately, let's sing the closing hymn, "We Can Make a Difference." It's on page 8 of your book. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Part of the same roots.
That's unreal.
It happens all the time.